You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
DolphinsTalk.com Point After.
This is DolphinsTalk.com Point After. My name is Josh Couture. Thank you for tuning in this week. Thank you for pressing play on this episode. And we have plenty to talk about thanks to training camp being in full swing and preseason games underway. Dolphins have a big one. Well, I guess it's not really a big one, but it is big in the sense that we get to see the offense. This offense that we've been talking about all offseason, we get to see them for the first time this weekend when they take on the Bears. We'll talk about the preseason game. We'll talk about training camp. But we got to start it all off by me eating some crow. By me admitting to a mistake. By me acknowledging that, yeah, maybe I was wrong. We got to talk about Xavien Howard and the contract restructuring. Because this whole time, I have been saying, there is no way Xavien Howard is on the Dolphins by the start of the season. I thought for sure he was going to get traded. And then when the trade demand came out, I thought for sure it was over. Xavien Howard was going to get dealt. I was picturing what kind of packages the Dolphins could get for the best cornerback in the NFL last year. And I was ready for him to go. I had come to terms. I had made peace with the fact that number 25 wasn't going to be on the Dolphins this coming season. Well, I have never been more wrong about anything in my entire life, because Xavien Howard and the Miami Dolphins managed to restructure his contract so that he is a Dolphin this coming season. And it may have patched up things to the point where he will be a Dolphin far beyond this season. So let's circle back. Why did I think Xavien Howard wasn't going to return? Well, I've been preaching this the whole time, and it was, I wasn't sure what kind of organization Chris Greer was running. Was he going to be the type of general manager that would bow down to the demands of his star players, or would he run it in a Belichickian kind of way where the player isn't greater than the team? If the player believes he is greater than the team, then that player will no longer be on the team. If you open up Pandora's box and you allow Xavien Howard to make contract demands, to ask for restructuring, well, now you're opening up the door for everyone else to make the same type of demands. But everybody else isn't Xavien Howard, who led the league in interceptions, who can kind of stake claim that, hey, I want my money. And we weren't really sure what this was going to look like. Was this going to be a restructuring? Was it going to be a re-signing? What kind of maneuvering were they going to have to do in order to appease Xavien Howard, who asked publicly to be traded? Now, before, when somebody would make a public outcry to be traded, well, that would result in them being traded. But as this offseason has progressed, players like a Russell Wilson or an Aaron Rodgers, who supposedly had asked for a trade, well, they didn't get traded, and they're still with their franchises. So Xavien Howard was kind of following suit with other star players who had asked to be traded, but seemed to have been able to mend the fences with those players, just like Xavien Howard. The fences have been mended, and Xavien Howard back with the Dolphins. So here's how it all broke down. Xavien Howard's salary for this upcoming season fully guaranteed, and incentives were added. And a core issue that he had with his contract before it was restructured was the money being non-guaranteed this season. And the money that is being non-guaranteed would rank him around 12th amongst NFL cornerbacks, despite leading the league in interceptions. They also made adjustments to Howard's contract next season, fully guaranteeing his salary and the remainder of the salary that's guaranteed for injury and will also be fully guaranteed on the first day of the league year. On top of all that, Xavien Howard also received assurances that the Dolphins will renegotiate a new deal in the offseason in line with the market based on his health and his performance in this upcoming season. So if Xavien Howard has I'm not going to say a 10 interception season, but if he's got, 7, 8 interceptions, and by far and away looks like one of the top cornerbacks in the NFL for a second straight year, well, then you can go to the table and ask for Marlon Humphrey-type money, Jalen Ramsey-type money. You can even ask for Byron Jones-type money, considering you got a guy on your team who essentially is making more money than you. You can make those demands if you do it again. Not to say he can't, but very rarely can somebody pull off a 10-interception season, come back and pull off another one. 10 interceptions, I don't think, is in the cards for Xavien Howard. I think teams are going to be a little bit more hesitant to throw the ball his way. But if he is a shutdown guy and limits the best receivers of every team, then why not pay the man? It's going to make the Byron Jones situation a little bit more interesting. I just don't see how you can have both those guys on your team maxing out on your money. Not a lot of teams can carry two of the top five highest paid cornerbacks on the roster while you still have all these other pieces you need to fill. But they're going to try and make it work, I suppose, at least for this season and maybe even next. But I am surprised that Xavien Howard is still a Miami Dolphin. Like I said, I had made peace with the fact that I didn't think he was going to be sticking around. When you make a public trade demand, it essentially means you're going to get traded. But in this situation, Chris Greer was able to match whatever it was Xavien Howard was looking for. And what he was looking for was guaranteed money because he has been injured in the past. And if he were to get injured or if something were to happen, he wants to make sure he gets paid. And he did. And now he's got his money. He's going to play. And the Dolphins have this defense that looks good on paper. And you're hearing a lot of chatter in training camp about how some of the guys are performing on the defensive side of the ball. And when you have a DB room that has Xavien Howard, Byron Jones, Eric Rowe, Justin Coleman, Nick Needham, Noah Igbinoghene, and this rookie, Javon Holland. I don't know. I don't want to jump to conclusions, but the Dolphins on paper look like a team that could lead the league in takeaways. Now, what would help the Dolphins lead the league in takeaways is if they can get to the quarterback. And we don't know yet if that's possible. They got the horses in order to pull it off. Christian Wilkins, Raekwon Davis, Emmanuel Ogba, they drafted Jalen Phillips. They have guys who can disrupt the passing game and make the jobs easier for those in the defensive backfield. But we have to see it first. They weren't so good at getting to the quarterback last season. They were all right. But you want to see the jump, and if they can make that jump, if they can increase productivity when it comes to getting to the quarterback, this Dolphins defense is top five because they have guys who can make plays. I don't know if you've been paying attention to training camp and the reports coming out of it, but apparently Javon Holland is the second coming of Ed Reed. This guy is picking off balls every single practice. Four practices in a row, four turnovers. Three picks and a fumble recovery at the time of this recording. This guy is looking like a ball hawk. Now, that is training camp. That is practice. And it don't mean squat until you actually play the games on Sundays or Mondays or Thursdays, sometimes Saturdays. You know, football's on pretty much all the time now. But this defense was great last season. And with the young guys gaining more experience, with the fresh faces they've brought in, the depth they've acquired, there's no reason to believe that this defense can't be better this season. And if you're a fantasy player, I don't think a lot of people are giving the Dolphins defense credit, and you might be able to squeak in and get them towards the end of your draft. But this Dolphins defense, man, it looks legit on paper, and all evidence from last season says that they are going to be a better defense in 2021. And you got Xavien Howard back. Everyone kind of seems healthy right now. I don't know. I feel like this defense is going to do some amazing things this season. But I could be wrong because I thought Xavien Howard was going to get traded. And look, he's still there. Other Dolphins news to get to. Hunter Long, the third round pick. The tight end who maybe will be taking over for Mike Gesicki next year or will be part of a great duo. I'm not sure what the deal is and what the plan is for Hunter Long, but there was a moment of, oh, got to take a deep breath. You got to take it. Ooh, is he hurt? Oh, the cart came out. Anytime the cart comes out and a player gets taken out on said cart, you're like, oh, season's over. Torn Achilles, torn knee, broke this, broke that. The guy can't walk. Season's done. Oh, well, it was nice to have him. Hunter Long on Sunday gets taken off on the cart, and it was believed that maybe he had a season-ending injury. Well, I guess that's not the case because Hunter Long is with the team in Chicago, and Dolphins coach Brian Flores called him day-to-day during a press statement. Now, he didn't elaborate much when it came to the injury that Long sustained over the weekend, but he was taken off on the cart, and there was nothing said about the injury to local or even national media. It was just kind of swept under the rug. You heard on Twitter that Hunter Long was taken off on a cart, and that was the end of it. And for days, there was no updates. Well, it turns out the cart was all precautionary because he's probably going to be fine. He might not play on Saturday against the Bears, but the season's not over. He's still in the cards for the Dolphins. And I'm curious to see how Hunter Long fits into this offense because he's a better blocking tight end than Mike Gesicki. He's got some hands on him. How does he fit with this offense with Adam Shaheen and Durham Smythe still there? It was an interesting move in the draft to take a tight end in the third round. One of his skill set, when you already have some blocking tight ends on the team, you got a receiving tight end in Gesicki, and they brought in somebody who can do a little bit of both, maybe not elite on either end, but who knows, he could turn into something, and he might be the Mike Gesicki replacement if the Dolphins choose not to resign him, because let's be real, they can't re-sign everybody, especially with the cap not moving. This could have been a precautionary move to get them ready for when Mike Gesicki hits free agency, because I don't think they want to pay him Hunter Henry and Jonnu Smith type money. So he might not be here next season. And to have Hunter Long not miss the season, to only be day-to-day, it means we're going to see him on the field. We're going to see him do something. And will he give enough where the Dolphins can kind of move on from Mike Gesicki and save a couple of dollars here and there? The other kind of Dolphins news is what's going on with Joy Taylor. Joy Taylor, the sister of Jason Taylor, who is a media personality. She's been on the radio. She's been on all the Fox and ESPN and all that stuff. But now she's on Colin Cowherd. And she is getting, I don't know, I don't want to say roasted on Twitter, but fans are kind of pointing out hypocrisy, I would say. And it stems from her stating that Joe Burrow needs time to recover from his injury because there are reports that Joe Burrow is kind of laying an egg in training camp. And you can make the excuse for him that he's coming off of a torn knee. It's going to take some time to get ready to go. And Joy Taylor is saying, you know, we got to give Joe Burrow a chance to recover before we start kind of raking him over the coals. Well, where the hypocrisy comes in is when she talked about Tua and the recovery of the hip injury. And she essentially wasn't letting that one go. She wasn't using the hip injury as an excuse for why Tua wasn't developing like Joe Burrow did and like Justin Herbert did in their first seasons. Let's be honest. Of the three quarterbacks, Tua had the worst season. And that includes Joe Burrow getting hurt and missing half the year, tearing his knee. But the thought process was, yeah, Tua's not going to be where the other two are because he didn't finish the NCAA season and he's coming off of a hip injury that ended Bo Jackson's career. Thanks to modern medicine, it doesn't do that to people anymore, but it's still a devastating injury and it's going to take time for him to heal. Well, Joy back then wasn't giving Tua the benefit of the doubt, but for Joe Burrow, she was. So she had a take to Twitter and basically defend the take. And essentially, she says, you know, I'm a Dolphins fan. I love the Dolphins. Dolphins is in my blood. Obviously, Jason Taylor, one of the greatest of all time. But fans weren't really having it. They don't like the hypocrisy. And when it comes to Tua, he is a sensitive subject for Dolphins fans, especially now since Justin Herbert had the rookie season that he had. You know, he was there for the Dolphins at number 5, but Miami went with Tua, who, when healthy, was the best quarterback in college. Now, that can be a little bit of a red flag for some people, because when you think about especially recent college football and the greatest quarterbacks to partake in any given season, Johnny Manziel was the best quarterback in college football at a time. So was Tim Tebow. So was Tua. There is a chance that if you're the greatest college quarterback, it doesn't translate to the NFL. On the flip side, Joe Burrow had the greatest season in college football history, first overall pick, and was pretty good for the time he did play. Justin Herbert was a pretty decent college quarterback, not electrifying by any stretch of the imagination, but he was good enough to be a top 10 pick, and he ended up winning Offensive Rookie of the Year. You just never know with these things. College doesn't necessarily translate to the pros, but we are sensitive when it comes to Tua because we want him to be successful, not only because of the Herbert situation, but because he genuinely seems like a good person. He seems like a person you want to root for. He seems like a person that if he was on your team, you want to go through a brick wall for him. You want to see him succeed. And as a Dolphins fan that's been starving for a franchise quarterback, well, this is your best opportunity to have one, because resume-wise, it tells you that he is a franchise quarterback. But does it translate to the NFL? We're kind of waiting to see. The rookie season was a roller coaster, if anything else. And with how mini camps started and throwing all those picks, and it was, you know, bad weather, and it was basically a hurricane taking place, you started to have a little bit of doubt. Well, for the most part, reports out of training camp have been positive. He's throwing darts to Albert Wilson. Him and Jalen Waddle are making connections. It's been positive, and you want to keep the positive going. You want to jump aboard the positivity train and ride it all the way into September with the belief that the Dolphins have a franchise quarterback. And when somebody like Joy Taylor, who has a close relationship with the franchise, says the things that she had said in the past and the hypocrisy of what's happened recently, it's like, you know, it kind of hurts your heart. And it hurt Joy to the point where she had to defend herself across like 10 different tweets, had to post a picture of herself in a Tua jersey. But she was honest. She said she would rather have had Joe Burrow. She wasn't the biggest Tua fan. She didn't believe in him because of that injury history. But she admits that she is rooting for Tua. And I just think fans need to relax. I know Tua is a sensitive subject, and you are afraid of being hurt. But people are entitled to their opinions, and opinions change over time. A year ago, she said the hip injury isn't an excuse. Well, right now she's saying a torn ACL is an excuse for Joe Burrow. Opinions change, takes change, so be it. We can't rake everyone over the coals for having an opinion and then changing it later. I started the show by admitting that I made a mistake. My take was wrong. My opinion had to change because my original opinion was Xavien Howard was no longer going to be a Miami Dolphin. It happens. And I don't think Joy meant, you know, anything. I just think we need to kind of leave people alone. As we get closer to the start of the season, our tensions are a little high because we want to see this team fly out the gate and win some games and beat some teams and show some dominance, and you want to see Tua do something similar to what he did when he played for Alabama. We got to kind of relax, though. Just let things happen. Don't worry. Don't stress. And don't rake someone over the coals because they changed their opinion or they have a take you don't agree with. We're all fans at the end of the day, and guess what? None of us are experts. Even Joy, who is on TV every single day talking about sports, she ain't no expert either. None of us are experts. Even the quote-unquote experts are wrong most of the time. Think about Mel Kiper and how many draft selections he said were going to be future Hall of Famers, and they all ended up being busts. Even the people that get paid lots of money are wrong most of the time. And we're going to talk about one of those guys who gets paid a lot of money, who's probably going to be wrong for like the 100th time or 100th millionth time, but still gets paid lots of money to talk about whatever he talks about. We're also going to talk about the Indianapolis Colts. We're going to talk about Josh Allen. We'll get to that coming up after the break. Today's episode is sponsored by our friends at Manscaped, the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. It's back to school time, and we want to make sure you pack the essentials to have the best year yet. And the Manscaped 4th Generation Performance Package is just that. Things are opening up, so you want to be ready for whatever is in your daily schedule. It's the perfect package for your package and includes the brand new Lawnmower 4.0. Fellas, go for the valedictorian of ball trimming and join the 2 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped by going to manscaped.com and use the code DolphinsTalk. Manscaped also threw in two free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and the Shed Travel Bag. One is a comfy front pack for your balls, and the other is a backpack for your goods. So get 20% off plus free shipping with the code DolphinsTalk at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code DolphinsTalk at manscaped.com. This year, graduate with a degree in clean balls from Manscaped. You're listening to DolphinsTalk.com. Point After, Josh Couture hanging out with you. And we're going to kind of check out other things going on in the NFL. And I know this is going to be hard to hear, but it is newsworthy, and it's something we have to kind of acknowledge. Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills came to terms on a new contract extension that pays this man a potential $258 million over the course of 6 years. This makes Josh Allen the NFL's second highest paid player. Dang, $150 million of it fully guaranteed, and it's all based on what happened last season. Now, questions follow Josh Allen through his first 2 years, in which he was ranked 32nd among NFL starters by completing less than 59% of his passes. But Josh Allen's completion percentage jumped to 69 last year to rank 4th among NFL starters. After going 5-6 during his rookie season, he's gone 23-9 over his past 2 years, and is 2-2 in 4 playoff appearances. And, you know, we just finished talking about Tua. This has to give you hope. And Tua was 6-3 as a starter. Far better than what Josh Allen put on the table. And now he's the second highest paid player in the NFL behind Pat Mahomes, who basically signed a $1 billion deal, it feels like. Again, as a Dolphins fan, I know you don't want to hear this. You love basking in the misery that is the Buffalo Bills and their quarterback issues. As much as you've been dealing with quarterback issues, the Bills had also been dealing with quarterback issues, not being able to find a franchise quarterback. Well, it looks like they have one now, and it's probably the unlikeliest of that grouping of quarterbacks that came out in that year's draft. You know, you think about Baker Mayfield, Josh Rosen, Sam Darnold, Josh Allen, and Lamar Jackson. I think of the five, you would have put Josh Allen 4th or 5th on the list. But now as we kind of fast forward, Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen are far better off than Baker Mayfield, Sam Darnold, especially Josh Rosen. Now, Baker Mayfield is in line for a new deal, but he ain't going to get anything close to this because he hasn't produced what Josh Allen has produced. Now the pressure is on for Buffalo and Josh Allen to make something happen. You signed the guy to the deal. Now you need to show that you are not only one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL, but you are leading one of the best franchises in the NFL, maybe to a conference final. But I don't know. I really don't believe in the Bills. I guess maybe that's just the Dolphins fan in me, but I find that offense extremely one-dimensional. They can't run the ball. Obviously, they have Stephon Diggs, but who else is he throwing the ball to? They're thin at tight end. Their offensive line isn't anything special. And that defense, although good, again, nothing special. I don't know. I don't have a lot of faith in them. I think Josh Allen's talent alone gets them 10 wins, but a Stephon Diggs injury basically derails their entire year because they just don't have guys who can make plays. That running game is brutal. Devin Singletary, Zach Moss, they were brutal last season. They still have them. I don't expect them to be much better. Again, maybe I'm wrong. My takes have been proven to be wrong lately. But I don't know. Dolphins fan in me says it's not there. They're going to win 10 games just because they have Josh Allen, and he has the talent to get them there. But I think the Dolphins defense could do something to this offense this year. The Dolphins defense is deep. It is fast. It is big. Raekwon Davis is an animal. I don't think we're going to see a performance like we did last year when the Dolphins got absolutely roasted by the Bills. I think this Dolphins defense matches up very well against this Bills offense, especially knowing that the Bills can't run the ball. And to circle back to an original point, having Josh Allen sign this contract, it really does give me hope that this could be Tua. Now, obviously, the body size, the arm strength, you know, how they play the game, how they play the position, they're two completely different players. But if a guy like Josh Allen, who was a joke his first year and a half in the NFL, and you remember that playoff game against the Texans? Oh, boy. I didn't think he was going to be a guy. I thought he was going to be someone who would be, you know, an okay starter, but he's turned into a guy. He turned himself into a guy. He's, you know, the work ethic made him one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL last season. But it gives me hope for Tua that his rookie season was far better than Josh Allen's rookie season, and his offense is far better than Josh Allen's offense, and his defense is far better than Josh Allen's defense. It gives me hope that Tua could have Josh Allen-esque progression over the next year and 2 years. And, that's just me being hopeful. Moving on to another team located in the AFC East, the New York Jets. Zach Wilson apparently has been throwing up stinkers in training camp, and it's kind of been a topic of conversation amongst the national sports shows. And Colin Cowherd, who says crazy crap all the time, went on his show and said some crazy crap. He said, quote, "Zach Wilson reminds me a little too much of Johnny Manziel. Small, cocky, and comes from wealth." All right. What? The guy hasn't played a single snap in the NFL, not one preseason game, and now we're roasting this 22-year-old because he hadn't done well in training camp thus far. I didn't think Zach Wilson was going to do much in training camp in year one. I don't think Zach Wilson's going to do much at all during this season because his offense is paper thin, and they are starting a rookie quarterback, likely a rookie running back in Michael Carter. The wideouts are nothing special. The offensive line, again, nothing special there. The Jets aren't going to be good this season, and Zach Wilson's going to get roughed up, and it ain't going to be pretty. Does that mean we're giving up on Zach Wilson after year one? I don't think the Jets are going to be doing that. I think they're going to give him some time to figure it out. But he is not going to come out there and light the league on fire like Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert and Kyler Murray and Lamar Jackson did. He is not going to come in and make special plays right away. He might have some moments where you think, oh, this guy definitely has it. But I don't think that's happening on a consistent basis in year one. And you got to give this guy some time. I have no earthly idea why people are criticizing Zach Wilson already when he hasn't played a single snap in the NFL. It is a process. He is young. He is on a bad team. That's why they were able to pick him so high, because they weren't very good. You have to give it time. And I think what Colin Cowherd did is so beyond unprofessional. Already chastising this 22-year-old kid who was just starting out in the NFL. You need to give it time. I can't wait to see how he does. Now, obviously, you know, it's really hard to pull off those really cool angles and those really cool throws when grown men are chasing you. But I think he's going to do some cool stuff because he's going to have to. Because at some point, the team's going to get desperate. They're going to be down, and he's going to have to try and make plays, and he's going to have to try and force some plays. And that's going to involve some improvising, some awkward arm angles, and some spectacular moments, I'm sure. But I think Zach Wilson's going to have a rough rookie season. Last thing for today is the Indianapolis Colts. They were hit with the injury bug as quarterback Carson Wentz and All-Pro, Pro Bowl, superstar guard Quentin Nelson are both injured with the same foot injury. They were supposedly going to be sidelined 5 to 12 weeks after operations to repair those same foot injuries, but now it's trending towards recovering in time for next month's regular season opener against the Seattle Seahawks. Now, this is important for a couple of reasons. If Carson Wentz plays a certain threshold of games or snaps, the Philadelphia Eagles get a first-round pick. If he doesn't hit that threshold, it turns into a second-round pick. The Eagles really want Carson Wentz to play. And Quentin Nelson, again, one of the best, like, honestly, even though he's a guard, one of the best players in the NFL because he is dominant at what he does. And he makes that team tick. Why they have such a good running game? That guy. Why Carson Wentz isn't going to get hit much this year? That guy. Because he does his job so incredibly well, it makes those around him perform at an even better level, especially because the stress is off of them because he's handling so much of the load. So thankfully, both these guys should be ready to go by the start of the season. What's unfortunate is there was some indication that maybe they weren't going to be ready by the time they played the Dolphins, or maybe they'd just be coming back, which means that you'd have like a leg up on them because you'd be more healthy than they would be. But it doesn't seem to be the case. The Colts did, you know, try out Sam Ehlinger and Jacob Eason with the first team. But Carson Wentz going to be rip-raring to go by week one. So don't worry. They're not going to trade for Nick Foles, the third-string quarterback for the Chicago Bears. Don't worry, Colts fans. Carson Wentz isn't going to have to live deja vu and have number nine in Nick Foles sitting behind him in the quarterback room. They're not going to make that deal. I'm excited to see this Colts team, by the way, with Carson Wentz. I really don't know what to think of Carson Wentz because there was a moment in time when Carson Wentz was like an MVP candidate for the Philadelphia Eagles, and then he kind of became a joke last season with the crazy crap he was trying to pull off. And then, you know, Nick Foles wins the Super Bowl for the Eagles after Carson Wentz goes down, and Carson Wentz basically is chastised for not being as good as Nick Foles, who for some reason can't win a starting job on any other team but the Eagles. But I want to see what Carson Wentz can do with this offense. This is a good team. You know, Phillip Rivers put in some work, and this team was a playoff team. And, you know, Phillip Rivers was at the end of his career. Carson Wentz is at the, you know, entering the prime of his career. And I kind of want to see where this goes. Obviously, I want them to lose to the Dolphins. But other than that, very curious to see how Carson Wentz works with the Indianapolis Colts. And if it doesn't, well, the Colts are going to have to circle the wagons on a quarterback yet again, having trouble finding one since Andrew Luck called it quits. That does it for this week's edition of DolphinsTalk.com Point After. Thank you for listening. If you want to check out more of me, you can follow me on Twitter at @CoutureOnAir. But thank you for tuning in, and I will talk to you again another time.